Bucks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
All right. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show that is not hosted by Jeff Poor. I've got a great guest. I'm going to let the suspense rankle there. I've got an angry person on the text thing that I'm going to respond to because that's always fun. The guy that I called a dweeb that was asking about my story. And again, it's like you have someone ask like, hey, man, could you share your story or did you share your story? But when it's like, you know, did you share about your own personal criminal history? You can obviously tell they're not going in for the story of redemption. And so they said, would also be interested to know whether you're able to possess a firearm if you're eligible to vote. And I've just ignored it because whatever. And it says, well, dismiss it as dweebish if you want, but why does the editor of AL.com being named a party in a civil lawsuit leave him less qualified to lead a news organization than someone with a violent criminal history who won't discuss the details of his parole? My parole's over. It's been over for almost 10 years. So there's that. Him being named in a lawsuit doesn't make him not qualified. And I never said he wasn't qualified. I just said that the person that they hired to run AL.com is a black man who, when he was at his previous newspaper of Gannett, which is USA Today, there was a lawsuit filed against him because in his hiring practices, he said that he was not going to hire any white men for management. That is what I said. I didn't say he wasn't qualified. I'm just sharing that that's the people that they chose to hire to run their newspaper is a guy that said white people can't be in management. That was what I was talking about. So definitely not trying to skirt anything. After the Bubba Copeland saga happened, a whole bunch of people got out and said, how are you able to vote? How are you able to vote? Brian, how are you able to vote? You're a felon. How are you able to vote? And by a bunch of people, I mean the New York Times, the Washington Post, and Kyle Whitmire at AL.com. And I actually appreciate Kyle Whitmire, being pretty straightforward throughout that process. But the state of Colorado, which where all my felonies were, reinstituted my ability or my voting rights as soon as my parole was terminated. And under the 14th Amendment, I believe it is, the state of Alabama, as said by previous Attorney General Bill Pryor, says that when another state reinstates a person's right to vote, the state of Alabama has to respect that. And so that's how I'm able to vote, since you were so interested, Gabe Tynes. And also, am I able to possess a firearm? No, I am not. So if you have any more questions like that, that you just have your interest piqued about my life and my history, I'm happy to go into those as well with you. So, but thanks for your interest. Anyway, moving on to something much more positive and uplifting. I have a personal friend here, JY, who is not here in any professional capacity whatsoever. He's just a guy off the street that I found. I was like, hey, man, come in here and talk on this microphone here about some stuff and some things.
Well, I have a face for radio.
Yes. That's right. And so I've got John Young. Some of you guys may know him. I know he's a celebrity down in these parts. We've got several mutual friends, but a gentleman, Richard Stimson, you guys might know him. I was coming down to Mobile to spend some time with Rich. He's like, you've got to meet my friend John Young. And he sends me this video that you are famous for. And I listened to it and I was just like, this is unbelievable. I've got to meet this guy. And so John and I met that evening and he did this event where he and some other people from Mobile really talking about the importance of rebuilding neighborhoods and fathers and men getting involved, not only in their children's lives and their families' lives, but also in the neighborhoods. I was just struck by it. And so we've been good friends ever since. And I knew I had 3 hours to fill. And I said, I've got to give at least an hour to JY to have him come on and share what's on your heart.
I'm always flattered that anyone listens to me. I've always have something to say. I just don't always have anyone to listen.
Yes.
So I thank you for calling me. But you'd been on my mind after what we talked about, what happened last year. And you were in my thoughts and my prayers. Of course, I called you and talked to you to offer encouragement. And therein is in the body of Christ, there are no coincidences.
Yeah.
You know, we're all on our journey, our path individually, but we are of the same body. And the God that we serve offered his son to redeem us all. You were redeemed from something through the blood of Christ, as was I, as the guy through the email needs a savior also. So even when we disagree with one another, the body of believers is founded on Christ. So if he can forgive us, we can forgive each other. I sent you a text message saying, well, what's our topic? You said, I'm still working on that. So we'll just see what the Spirit leads us. We met through Men United Against Violence. We had our first men's meeting. City attorney was our first man United Against Violence speaker. Yeah, we met through a mutual friend, Richard Stimson. And it's our entire focus at MUAV is just reminding men of their duty, their role, responsibility in the family.
Yeah,
that's it. We believe society is stronger with two-parent homes. We think statistically and historically that is true, and it transcends ethnicity, race, class, or income.
Yeah.
So our message is one, we are believers, that believers must follow through the blood of Christ. But even if you don't believe in the redemptive blood of Christ, being a father, marrying a mother, raising your children is just a good idea for everyone, right?
Sure.
And then that's our focus. Our last campaign was A Child's Future Begins at Home. Last year we did Bury the N-Word, and we're working on our next campaign now. It will be Focus on Family First. You know, it's your family. Lead it. And we always point, listen, and I don't sit here, brother, I don't sit here pointing fingers at anyone. I sit here as a man who's looked in the mirror and realized the mistakes I've made over my life. 53 years old, I've been making mistakes, 53 years and 9 months. I realized the mistakes I made, and now being a man and being a leader, I have a duty and responsibility to tell other men not to make these same mistakes. If we're not teaching people from what we've done in the past, what we've done wrong, then we are failing. And we believe in the organization that men have failed, abandoning our families, not leading our communities, leaving outsiders to come in and speak for us, to be quasi-leaders because of the hot topic of the day. No, men lead. Men lead, inspire, and develop. Mm. And that is our focus. First, through believers in Christ, but even if you aren't a believer, leading, inspiring, and developing your family is something basic we can all agree on, right?
Yeah. And when you think about just the impact that it has, and it's, you know, God created things the way that they are. He made gravity to where if you drop something, it falls. Like, he's created everything. Mm-hmm. And in his creation, he has made man to carry a level of prominence in the development of culture. Mm-hmm. in a way that is unavoidable.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've heard it put, you know, man is the head of his household. And it's not that a man is not, if there's a man who is in a household and he's not doing his job, it's not that he's not the head, he's a bad one.
Right.
And there's consequences to being a bad one, right? And those consequences are manifold. And, you know, it is, and it goes back to, it's very, very interesting. My podcast, when I started the podcast, I was, you know, and I had some idea of 1819 News, the podcast. We were going to talk about like politics, sports, maybe some barbecue or something, just Alabama culture. And I would have guys come on, and we, you know, it would be guys that played for Bear Bryant. They would talk about football, and then it got down to what was the thing they were most passionate about, or what was the thing that they would love to see change the most, and always got down to men leading their households,
right.
What made Bear Bryant so great is that he helped men lead not only on the football field, but also in their homes and in business. And so, you know, these type of things. And so that it has just become the theme. And you look, so we are constantly covering the destruction of a decadent culture. And so the things that we see from the, you know, the trans community, but even things that aren't even that out there, the crime that you deal with as a law enforcement officer, the shootings and the bodies that you guys have to scrape up off the streets, all of this is coming down to the breakdown of the family.
Right.
Right? All of it. Every bit of it.
It always goes back to environment. It always goes back to culture. How are people being raised? What are they being taught as valuable? If you're teaching your family education, employment, and discipline, then you improve the chances, better chances for a positive outcome. 96% of men that families that where the father attends church, the family attends church. If you have parents reading to their children as opposed to playing video games with their children, if you have fathers teaching their sons displaying masculine tendencies and characteristics, and a mother showing feminine qualities and characteristics, we historically know these things at work, Brian.
Yeah.
This isn't we're not talking about something brand new.
Yeah, we're not inventing. We're not the ones selling our vision.
Right. This isn't our vision. This has worked historically for centuries, and that's all we're saying. And ladies, we're not misogynistic. God over Christ, Christ over man, man over wife, wife over children. Let us be in our roles as leaders, and then the helpmeet supports us.
Yeah.
Listen, feminism killed femininity.
Yeah.
Feminism told a bunch of happily married heterosexual women that because you shave your legs and you cook a pot roast, you're not equal to your husband.
Yeah.
Well, we are equal in the body of Christ. We're just not the same. We have different roles. How can you say that, JY? You're not married, but I will be.
Yeah.
And then even until I am, I'm still a leader as a man in my community. I still have responsibilities. When Miss Dawson is in Mobile and Mr. Dawson isn't here, she's my responsibility.
Yeah.
When the kids are here, they're my responsibility.
Sure.
A man's responsibility doesn't change because he's not married. Adam had responsibilities before Eve.
Yeah.
Paul said, I wish all men were like me, but it is better to marry than burn.
Yeah.
So because you don't do it doesn't mean it isn't better to be done, and I should emphasize that. We should get back to what's right and wrong, good and evil. These evil people that are trying to cause this great delusion or illusion go over mankind that you can change your gender. Or I saw an interview where I'm not going to say the ambulance chasing attorney's name, but he said black people are put in jail because the culture is criminalized, suggesting that black people will only commit crimes inherently because they have to, and because we say it's illegal, that's why black people are going to jail. Stop telling people that immorality is organic and it's not a choice.
Yeah.
Stop saying it is inevitable for these things to occur.
Sure.
We made choices. You made choices. I made choices every day that led us to where we are.
Amen.
Good or bad.
Yeah.
I didn't do well on a promotional examination. That was my fault.
Yeah.
I was ill prepared, not the system's fault.
So it wasn't a racist test?
Not at all.
Oh, okay.
No, it was a lazy JY outcome.
Okay.
And when JY is lazy, JY gets these outcomes. I'm my worst enemy. But even if things are an ism, does that mean there isn't a solution to it? Let's say there is an ism that everyone faces every day. There's still a solution because that's not the first time that ism has been confronted. So instead of constantly looking for reasons to be victimized, you and I said we're not victims, we are victors.
Mm.
We have overcome this world.
Yeah.
We know the solutions that we have. We know everyone knows families are stronger with husbands leading the family, with wives supporting. Everyone knows it. But what happens when you have corrupt people who have lack conscience or lack discipline or lack morals or principles, and you put them in leadership positions? They can only corrupt. This whole presidential campaign, I know I talked to you about Galatians 5 and 20. Don't vote for party anymore. Don't vote for propaganda. Let's vote character. Let's just vote for better people. And I'm so angry that
we're almost
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have to take a break.
Yeah.
Don't put your quarter in yet. I'll hold it.
That's right. Can you feel the anticipation building for the next segment? I can.
Well, yeah, I'm playing nice right now, but I'll get warmed up.
We're gonna let it rip. This is Jeff Poor Show with the best bumper music in the history of the world. We'll be back.
He said something. Glitter and shine. Taught us that love was the one thing money couldn't buy, that it never was.
'Cause you see, I'm a dinosaur. I should have died out a long time before.
All right, welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show. That is sans Jeff Poor. Sans is some other language for without. Like when I'm doing the keto diet, I go and get a burger sans bun, which makes me sound kind of gay, but it keeps the carbs down. So, you know, whatever it takes. So anyway, I am joined by a dear friend, J.Y., John Young. And we are, we're talking about the, you know, we talk about a lot of things on the radio and everything else. We talk about this politic or this legislation or this whatever. These are all, I think it was Henry David Thoreau that said, for every 1,000 chopping at the leaves of evil, there's one chopping at the root. And I believe you're chopping at the root of the evil. We're getting to root causes in this conversation. And you brought up feminism and how women were basically told, you know, because they have a role in the home and, you know, nurturing children. And that has so been branded to women as, you know, these inconveniences, mm-hmm. these little hellions and these little frustrations, rather than eternal souls made in the image of God that you get to nurture, you know, bear and then nurture. And, you know, there's a quote that says, you know, all other careers, all other jobs exist for the most important career and job. And that is my wife's job. She has my, like, she's sitting at home right now. She is home educating my 7 children. Okay. The most important job, right. Eternal souls. And she has to, that job has to be supplied. Right. Okay. And so I work 80, 90 hours a week, laying it all on the field to, so that she has what she needs. And then I chose to do the work that I do so that I can make a better Alabama for my 7 children, right. So that they don't have to fight the fight, at least, or if I hand them the torch so they can pick up this fight, it's not because dad kicked the can down the road.
Right.
And left it up for them, I will fight with everything I have until the day I die. And that way, I will have at least hopefully made some progress. So when I hand the torch to them, there was at least some work done on my end.
Scripture says, raise a child in the way,
mm-hmm.
and they'll remember, right?
Yeah.
That's what the prodigal son was raised properly. He just had a moment where he thought he could do better or do something differently, but he returned to his roots. Is it always 100% effective? No, but we know you have a better chance.
Yeah.
The child has a better chance. And now you can't trust public education. It is basically babysitting. And feminism knew that. Feminism was evil. It's of the devil. And it went at the devil knows he must attack the family, just like Satan attacked Eve first. Satan wants to attack the family, break the family down, because then we're easier to manipulate and control. If the soil is bad, if the environment in which a child is raised is bad, you increase the likelihood that that child will have a negative outcome.
Mm.
We know this. We talked about music off air. If you sit around listening to Bach and Beethoven and mathematical equations, let's say we swap kids. I got a kid, you get a kid.
Okay.
And we swap them. And I have a red hair, green eyed kid, and you have a curly black hair, brown eyed kid. And you raise your child in the music, the arts, math, science, etiquette, language, proper language. And I raise a child in a violent, materialistic, gangster world.
Yeah.
Regardless of the color of that child's skin, the environment in which he is raised will lead to a negative outcome.
Yeah.
Regardless of the child that you're raising skin, the environment in which he is raised will lead to a more positive outcome, right?
Yeah.
So it has nothing to do with color of skin, ethnicity. It has nothing to do where you were born. It has everything to do with environment. And yeah. Feminism destroyed that environment.
Yeah.
And you add that with welfare, crack cocaine, and now this gangster rap culture, that's what we're contending with. Our battle is in the mind and hearts of children, and we know stronger families make better results.
Yeah.
And that's all we're saying, Brian. Listen, if I piss anyone off, if I get hate text messages or hate email, why are you mad? Take me out of it. What about my message? What is wrong with what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why would anyone be angry if I'm saying that historically and statistically we know parents raising children together leads to a better outcome? So we all don't like crime, right? Nobody wants a house shot or a building burned or looted. And I am saying one way to decrease the likelihood of that is by fathers and mothers raising their children. Who could disagree with that?
People, I mean, and we're going to get to the answer to that on the other side of this break, but yeah. No, I mean, it's so simple. Why is this even a question or a conversation? This is Jeff Porsche Show. We'll be back.
Whispers to me. Carry on, sweet Southern.
comfort, carry on.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show, hosted by Jeff Poor's boss in another world of his, Brian Dawson, CEO of 1890 News. We're back. We're back with JY, and I've just been, it's like the first couple rounds in a boxing match. I'm just getting him warmed up. You know what I mean?
He's about
to go full Tyson now.
Well, I'm fed up with evil. We're not confronting evil enough. We're not saying what is right and wrong, and we know it is wrong, and we played nice, and now it's out of control.
Yeah.
We've allowed men wearing size 18 pumps to parade up and down the street in our Mardi Gras parade, and now they've gone into our churches, our schools, and our libraries, infiltrating our classrooms and encouraging and influencing our children. That's wrong. We've allowed people to make mockery of our God. That's wrong. We've allowed people to mock families and husbands and wives and roles and duties. And now it's not a husband and wife. It is a partnership. That's wrong. There is an order that God has set that natural instincts tell you that there is.
Yeah.
We've gone against all that because we've let the evil one sow tares amongst us and tell us, that's wrong. You can't question. Don't hate. Don't fat shame. Lizzo is an abomination.
Mm.
We should not encourage unhealthy lifestyles by saying live your truth. We should not encourage men who run the streets and make Nick Cannon make 12 babies outside of wedlock. We should not encourage and celebrate a 33-year-old woman with 7 children. These are wrong, and we've gone along with it so far for so long that we can hardly open our mouth. Church leaders, pastors, bishops, you're so intimidated that you won't even go to the corner store where you know they're selling dope to your kids. You know they're violating law down the street from a church, and you won't say anything about it. That's our fault. Men have stopped in their masculine, godly roles of leading homes. Hey, listen, Mobile. I'm not preaching to you from a holier-than-thou episode. If you've heard me ever on Midday Mobile or other radio shows, I admit I am a sinner in need of salvation. I failed a lot of things in life. I have failed myself. I've been my worst enemy. So I'm telling you from experience that this solution is us. And that is the only solution. You know, Brian, one of my good friends, Gerald Ripple, said to me 2 months ago, JY, you should run for political office. And I said, man, no. And he's the first person that made me consider it because he says, you always try to unite people. And isn't that what we, not that I'm not announcing candidacy or anything, Brian. You did not get a scoop here.
Yes.
But shouldn't we try to unite like-minded people? What happened that day if you said to Richard, nah, I don't want to go meet him?
Yeah.
Now we don't have a brother in Christ making a stronger unit, a union.
Yeah.
But shouldn't we try to lead, inspire, and develop? Shouldn't we try to unite people? But Gerald Ripple said that to me, and that was the first time I'd ever said, you know what, he's right. We do need unity. But that unity can only be had in truth, honesty, fairness, equity, real equity, not biased or based or forced. You know, another thing, I couldn't run as a Republican or conservative because I'm not going to let anyone parade me around as a black mascot. We got a black conservative.
Yeah.
And I can't go as a Democrat or liberal because I don't believe in welfare.
Yeah.
So how could I be a political candidate if I'm encouraging independent thought? How could I be a political candidate if I say that is wrong? You know, they don't want me on Goat Hill. They would disagree with me on Goat Hill. I wouldn't join the Congressional Black Caucus. I wouldn't take a bunch of lobbyist money. I can't run for anything. So I'll use the opportunities that God presents to me, like being on this show, to speak the truth. The only thing I am saying is what everyone thinks and already knows is right. We need stronger families, period, Brian.
Yeah. Well, you asked the question at the end of the last segment, why would anyone argue with that? Why would we know it's real basic. And it's funny. This is why conservatives lose, by the way. I'm gonna outline it for you. So the left has been investing into hijacking the culture shaping institutions. So you're talking media, you're talking Hollywood, you're talking news, you're talking colleges, schools, seminaries, the entire Democrat Party has been hijacked by communists and Marxists, okay? Mm-hmm. And they have been investing for 100 years, investing billions of dollars into taking these institutions. And conservatives give to think tanks to write white papers, and they'll spend $100 million a year on this white paper that says, children with fathers do better than children without. It's like, man, thank God for that $100 million on that white paper.
Ryan, can we make that kind of money? I've not ever gotten a check for any interview I've ever done. I've not received a dollar.
Yeah, and think tanks have their place, and you know, the Alabama Policy Institute here is a great think tank that actually does really good work and does not cost that much, but you're thinking these big national think tanks and institutes, conservatives love funding these things, but when it actually comes to winning, we think in 4-year election cycles, the progressives and the Marxists and the communists think in 40-year generation cycles, right? And so it's a strategic kind of faux pas. But the reason that people are going to argue with you about that message is because their flesh wants to do what their flesh wants to do. You know, women want to be promiscuous without getting pregnant. And so they want to be promiscuous, and they think it's unfair that men can be promiscuous without getting pregnant. And so they say, well, that's not fair. That's unjust, right? And so they want to go out and do the things they want to do. They've been convinced that raising children at home is actually a ball and chain. They've been convinced of all these things. And so when you come and say basic biblical truth about basic, we call it gendered piety, but basic gender roles, they're looking at you like you're some kind of like, you know, slave master oppressor that's coming to make sure that that ball and chain stays on their leg. But it's like, but if they would just embrace the way that God created things, there would be flourishing.
Right. They would be more free.
Yeah.
The hot girl summer, girls trips, body count, those things are now used as badges or medals of honor by promiscuous women. Ladies, once you use up your femininity, that is the thing most valued and treasured. You can only get pregnant once every 9 months. A man can make a child every day for his entire life.
Yeah,
that's how valuable a woman's femininity is, right?
Yeah.
It is very pure and sacred. When you go out and spend your summer running around doing it, no man's going to want you. You no longer have value. And that's another byproduct of fathers not being in the homes.
Yeah.
Girls raised without a father are more likely to be promiscuous, or more likely to have children out of wedlock, or likely to be have low self-esteem, or are more likely to have a drug usage, or more likely to drop out of high. These are statistics that I didn't have to read in a white paper. Historically, we know they're true. Now, if they want to pay me $1 million, send me a check and I'll send the white paper to you. But fathers teach their daughters what kind of man they should desire, because it should be like father.
Yeah.
Dad shows his daughter, you're not a hoe.
Yeah.
She sees father interacting with mother, how they interact in their roles they play with each other. Mother teaches daughter how to be a wife, how to take care of a home, how to be a helpmeet. You know, ladies are spending their youthful years in college getting chasing that bag, as they say, and becoming a master's degree and a PhD and boss babe. And then when they're 40, I want to get married. But he has to make 6 figures, be 6 feet tall, and have six-pack abs, 3 sixes.
Yeah.
That man exists, but he doesn't want a 40-year-old woman.
Yeah, who's chased a career her whole life.
Let me work. Yeah. Let me come home to a clean, peaceful environment, baby, and you can have whatever you want.
Yeah.
I will work 80 hours a week, like you just said, to provide for your family, and you will have every single thing your heart desires.
Yep.
That's the order that God gave us. He gave us the ability, the desire. A lazy man is the worst thing. Ladies, I know it sounds like I'm hard on you, but we don't like lazy men.
No.
We don't like spineless, cowardly men. We don't like ungodly men. So we're not saying, go just get any man. Get a godly man. Get a God-fearing man that's going to work and provide. The devil hates this conversation we're having.
Yeah.
He hates us telling young men to lead, pull up your pants, cut your hair, and be a man and go get a job. If you're not working 40 to 60 hours a week, you're not working enough, man. Young man, you need to work 40, 60 hours a week. Don't focus on anything but building your spiritual relationship with God and building yourself success.
Yeah.
And then in 10 years, when you have money in the bank and you're healthy and you're godly and you learn to walk in God's righteousness, God's true bride for you will be revealed.
Yep.
That woman that has walked in righteousness and was taught properly, you guys will meet.
Yep.
But the focus has to be in order. Choose ye first. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Yeah. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. I know we keep talking.
It's written on my wedding ring.
I think I'll get it tattooed on mine when I get married. You know, choose ye this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and these things shall be added unto you. And I'm not trying to preach to anybody, but it's hard for you men like you and I to talk about service, work, industry, even politics without talking about our God.
Yeah.
Because the God we serve has told us what the fruits of the flesh and the fruits of the spirit are. The God we serve has told us the fruits of the spirit are the fruits of the flesh are idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. He's told us that anyone who does those things are sowing to the flesh.
Yeah.
He's told us that anybody that you look up to that's doing those things, they're not walking in a holy manner. Fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So the things we're talking about when we talk about politics, I endorsed one person, one political figure twice. That was Mayor Stimson. When he was elected the first time in his reelection, I thought he was the best candidate for mayor for our city, and it turns out he was. He's done it. And I'm not saying it because I work for the city. I'm not sucking up. I'm just stating
the fact. He's a good man.
You can look at the city and see the difference he's made. But I had not endorsed anyone else since then, because I don't want ever to be typecast into being someone's boy or someone's voice. The truth I speak is universal.
Yeah.
The criteria I just read for your political candidate, whomever you choose, judge them by that.
Yeah.
Let's judge that man by the fruit, that tree by the fruit he bears. Does he bear long-suffering and patience, or does he bear variance and strife?
Yeah.
Does he bear love, peace, and joy, or does he bear murdering envies and strife? Let's just do that. Put the R&D aside. And let's compare what the fruit these trees are bear. Are they goats or are they sheep? Are they tares or are they wheat?
Yeah.
And that's the role of men should be teaching their boys how to be wheat.
Yeah.
How to lead, how to inspire, how to develop. That's all we're saying. Men United Against Violence have said that for the year and a half that we've been formed. And we're going to say that. We don't back away from that. If there's a text message anyone wants to send to question that or challenge it, please do. Let us hear what's wrong with this message. Let Brian and I call us or send a text. Well, no one's here to answer the phone. Send a text message and challenge our position on strong families. Brian, what do you think they will say? What will be the talking point, slogan, or cliche that could possibly challenge a message of a stronger city is built by strong families?
Yeah.
Schools are better schools when children are disciplined and sit down and shut up and listen to the teacher. You know, Mobile County Public School System has a dozen schools on the failing list and some of the middle schools, meaning that these kids aren't testing at grade level.
That does not surprise me, because I've been hyper-focused on education in the state of Alabama for the last 3 years, and it's a crap show.
What good is the Department of Education? Yeah. What are they? You're graduating kids that can't read, write, and count.
Yeah.
How can a person who can't write their own name, count to 10, or read 3 sentences, what job can you have besides being a drug dealer or a whore? What function could you provide to a society to positively influence it? We're not doing these kids any favors by graduating them and they can't read, write, and count. We're not doing kids any favors by not punishing their criminal behavior, giving them bonds to get out of jail and continue. And then our politicians argue and fight with each other, blaming the police when they don't ever say anything about the environment and families that they're involved. You know, we've had teenagers killed this year. In Pritchard, there was a 9-year-old girl shot and killed in a drive-by. You know that? Mm. And that's not unusual anymore. It's not unusual to have 16-year-olds murdered, 13-year-olds shot by 18-year-olds. That's not unusual. Doesn't that a sick society that you can't legislate that type of immorality? But you always want to blame the police when they confront a violent teenager who's shown a propensity for violence and suddenly is, let's get out and march and call this bootleg attorney to come down here and speak for us. Body-worn cameras are the issue. By gum. No, not warrants are the issue. No, it's the criminal lawless behavior that we're confronting.
Yeah.
We never talk about what led to the negative interaction. You want to know how to not to have, yeah, you got me warmed up. You want to know how not to have a negative interaction with police? Don't commit crimes. Don't go where crimes are committed, and don't hang out with people who commit crimes.
Yeah.
If nothing else, don't embarrass the family. Yeah. You have a 99% chance of not having negative contact with police. You want to know, I know it works because I've done it my whole life. Even before I became a police officer, that's what I did. That's not to say we didn't buy a bottle of Mad Dog, but we sure didn't ride around playing loud music with marijuana smoke coming out of the car.
I've been on both sides of this one. I have found avoiding interactions with the cops works.
Does it work?
It does. It's very.
How about that?
Well, very effective.
Why aren't? And this is the other agenda of the feminism. You call the liberal progressive agenda is to say that there are no right and wrong, so there should be no consequences to action.
Mm.
You can be loud and obnoxious and smoke dope and shoot guns. It's not your fault.
Yeah.
It's not your fault. It's an ism fault. Oh, if you're talking about black people, oh, you poor black people, you're so weak and helpless. Let me and my liberal blue-haired girlfriend save you from yourself because voter ID laws are discriminatory because we know you can't get an ID. Yeah. We know that you're
the
not
most racist
enough.
Thing I've ever heard in my
Isn't
life.
That my brother Marcus and I are offended by that. That you could tell me that I need special rules to compete with you? I'm my worst enemy. You can't defeat me. So that's the battle we are in now. Feminism turned into all that. Are we on that?
Yeah.
You shouldn't have gotten me started with only 15 minutes.
I get them warmed up with about a minute before every break. All right. This is the Jeff Poor Show. Words are hard today. We'll be back. All the lies. All right, welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show, hosted by someone who's not Jeff Poor. Someone much fatter and uglier even than Jeff Poor is Brian Dawson here filling in for the legend Jeff Poor. So we've got JY warmed up. I'm just going to insert a little one. So 1819 News does not endorse candidates, and we do not try and get involved in swaying elections, but there is one election I do want to sway, and that is for the nappy, for the greatest Mobilian of the year, should be John Young. I'm just throwing that out there. That's an absolute must. Sean Sullivan agrees.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're getting Brian Dawson and Sean Sullivan saying, to me, the best police officer in Mobile, that's just a given, but the best Mobilian. I could say Mobilian over and over.
Yeah, so you go to votenappies.com in the City Life section. You'll see that Best Mobilian. It's good to hear you and my buddy John talking. And continue to push that with the national, statewide angle. Get people from all over the state at 1819 News to vote for John here in the Nappies.
Absolutely.
All right, I like
there
that.
There you go. All right, I'm going to tee you up. Here we go. Okay, do you know what the word abomination actually means?
Tell me.
The word abomination is a sin that gets into the air, water, and earth, like a real pollutant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to tee you up with that.
Well, I appreciate that. And we have abominable sins here in Mobile as we have a skin problem in Mobile. Well, no, it's not a skin problem. It's a sin problem. We keep trying to interject the national narratives that are occurring and try to make them relative here. Well, it just doesn't fit in a city that is predominantly black, I think 51% to 49%, something like that. But when you have education systems that have black school leaders and black teachers and these children are still failing, we need to just be honest about it and say it comes down to family, the environment in which children are raised. Now, listen, I don't want anybody to say that, see there, them black folks ain't, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying let's take responsibility, black men. I'm calling into accountability. That's it. These are black kids murdering one another. The number one cause of death for black kids between the age of 15 and 35 is homicide. The same demographic for white kids is accident, drownings, and car accidents. That's environment. That's subculture. The shootings that occurred downtown, the shootings that occurred in the mall, these were black kids shooting at black kids. It wasn't the Klan. It wasn't the Klan that killed Sierra Jackson 2 years. That wasn't the... Listen, the greatest detriment in society is sin. The only way to overcome sin is through Christ, and men must get back back into their roles and emulate Christ. That's all I'm saying. And if someone disagrees, Brian and Sean, if they send a text message or an email now telling me I'm wrong, please do. I want pushback. I want someone to challenge. You know, Drew.
I think they're scared of you.
They're scared of the
word.
You're
a big guy.
They're scared of the word.
That too.
Well, now, let's not get carried away now. I'm peaceful. I'm not a pacifist. But the objective of me is to spread the truth. And I've not been called a liar yet. I've had people tell me I disagree with you. Well, what about what do you disagree? Your delivery.
With that, I got to get you to deliver again. Come back on my show.
Oh, yeah. Ran out of time. Yeah, sure thing.
Awesome. Well, this has been Brian Dawson, CEO of 1819 News, filling in for Jeff Poore.
Thank you, guys.
Over on the other side. This is where